I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, 15, and 31 through 33. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. And the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword. And Absalom chanced to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding upon his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the power of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "It is well with the young man Absalom." And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man." And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? O Absalom, my son, my son." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Thank you, Joan. Joab, great soldier. A lot of good things can be said about Joab. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was the nephew of King David, and the commander of his army. Now, we need to learn a little bit about Joab here because this story concerns him greatly. The name Joab is derived from Yahweh, the name of God of Israel, and the Hebrew word Av, meaning father. It therefore means Yahweh is father. Joab. Apart from David's nephew, the name is given to two other individuals in the Bible, and both of those are in the book of Ezra. Those are the descendants of Joab of Bethlehem and the son of Zeruiah. The subject is of the house and head of the house. Now, the name Joab may also be attributed to the district of Moab. And in our Latin translation, we call it Moab, eastern bank of the Jordan, from where Ruth, the Moabitess, came. Now, David had complete trust in Joab because Joab was such a great warrior and he was a relation. And whenever he had given Joab an order, Joab came through with flying colors. He never disappointed. So in this scripture, we hear that David once again sent his trusted servant to complete a task. And I want you to think about this because Absalom is David's son, and Absalom wanted to rule. And he couldn't wait for his father to die, so he was going to fight so that he could take over, even if it meant killing his father. But let us remember the following. A person who calls himself frank and candid can very easily find himself becoming tactless and cruel. A person who prides himself on being tactful can eventually find himself becoming evasive and deceitful. A person with firm convictions can become pig-headed. A person who is inclined to be temperate and judicious can sometimes turn into someone with weak convictions and banked fires of resolution. Loyalty can lead to fanaticism. Caution can become timidity. Freedom can become license. Confidence can become arrogance. Humility can become servility. All these are ways in which strength can become weakness. So as we listen to this story, in what ways do you feel that Joab may have been weak? Joab so loved and admired David that he would do anything for him. He wanted to ensure that nothing happened to his king. So Joab was at times a little over the top. Have you ever known someone like that? Someone who is so loyal to someone or some idea that even when the person who has someone's loyalty commits a crime or misdeed, the loyal person stands up for them or lies for them. Even when a commanding officer, when I was in the Navy, a commanding officer doesn't follow orders and does something wrong, if he has the loyalty of his men, they cover for him. Same thing with police officers. We've seen that. Any leader can become a leader who does something wrong, and when they do something wrong, if they have this loyalty, the others turn their eyes, avert their eyes from the crime. And oftentimes the cover-up of the wrongdoing is over the top. So we have Joab leading the military with strict orders to not let harm come to Absalom. Joab knows Absalom, and Absalom knows Joab. Why is this important? Because both men are born leaders. If you read the story of Absalom, you'll find that Absalom was such a handsome guy and so gifted that people just followed him, even left his father David to fight for him. Absalom won soldiers away from David, which is not easy to do. Joab had worked his way to the top because of his natural leadership abilities. There was no denying his ability to command. Now, these two great leaders, Joab and Absalom, would meet on the battlefield in the forest of Ephraim. For those of you who remember the movie Patton, think in terms of Patton meeting Rommel head on. It's what it's like, these two great leaders coming together. Now please, see if you can tell the difference between the two. There is something that separates these two great leaders, and it is something we can see in our own society, in our own lives, and for many of us, even in our own families. It permeates politics, religion, organizations, and yes, even families. Absalom's goal was to defeat his father and take over as king. Absalom wanted power. He would kill his own father for it if need be. So what would you say Absalom was loyal to? Then there's Joab. His goal was to protect his king. Whatever it took, however it could be accomplished, Joab was going to protect his king. So what would you say Joab was loyal to? Two men, two goals. Listen to this illustration. See if this might help you in your thinking about these two things. A youth minister was attending a Special Olympics where handicapped children competed with tremendous dedication and enthusiasm. One event was the 220-yard dash. Contestants lined up at the starting line and at the signal started running as fast as they could. One boy by the name of Andrew quickly took the lead and was soon about 50 yards ahead of everybody else. As he approached the final turn, he looked back and saw that his best friend had fallen and hurt himself on the track. Andrew stopped and looked at the finish line. Then he looked back at his friend. People were hollering, "Run, Andrew, run!" But he didn't. He went back and got his friend, helped him up, brushed off the dirt, and hand in hand they crossed the finish line dead last. But as they did, the people cheered, because there are some things more important than winning. Our goal as God's children, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to develop not just a winning attitude, but a caring attitude. Why? Because if we care, we win. Joab loved his king. Absalom knew only to win. He didn't care how. He didn't care who would get hurt or killed. He only cared that he won. But Joab was devoted to someone else, outside of himself. Joab had what it took to be a winner at all costs, to be his own boss, but he cared. In fact, loved David. So, on the battlefield, it was Joab who prevailed. He was fighting for something greater than himself. He would go back. He's the kind of guy that would go back and take the hand of a fallen soldier in spite of the dangers to himself. Something outside of himself drove him. But let us not stop there. There is more, and we must learn from this biblical story, for that is the purpose of Scripture, is that we learn. And there's a life lesson in here, and there's something that's not so flattering about Joab as we look. Although there is much to admire about Joab, he is a much better person than Absalom. There is something about Joab that calls out to us. Let us not forget these words in the beginning of our scripture that Joan read. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard the king give orders to all the commanders about Absalom. There are a lot of witnesses. This is one of those where you might say, oops, where was Joab on that one? And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. You know that order to deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. You know. The people knew that Joab knew. You see, Joab loved his king, and he would do anything to protect David. And he did do anything to protect David, even though David the king that he loved strictly ordered him not to do anything to Absalom. But Joab sees Absalom hanging in the tree, orders his guys to surround him and kill him. Doesn't sound like someone following orders. Loyalty is a wonderful thing unless it blinds us to our responsibilities, to the truth. Unless it causes us to react rather than act. Unless it moves us to defend the indefensible. Loyalty can be a good thing, but once it blinds us, then it's what we call blind loyalty. In other words, when our loyalty becomes blind where we do wrong, say bad things, accept bad things when we know we shouldn't. It appears in our scripture that Joab so wanted to defend his king that contrary to the king's orders, he killed the son that the king loved. By removing the threat to David permanently, he violated the king's order and killed what in essence was a part of the king. How would you feel if you were a commander and you gave an order not to harm your child who was fighting against you, and your child was killed anyway? It's no wonder David wept. He lost a child. He lost a child. But Joab didn't see it that way. Joab said, I'm removing a danger. This guy's dangerous, and I'm not going to let him hurt the king. So he did what he should not have done. Blind loyalty. Being a leader carries great responsibility. David learned loyalty to God, and he was loyal to his people through his compassion and love for them. Joab learned loyalty to David, but Joab had no compassion or love for others who threatened David. It's unthinkable that Joab would come back and stand before David and say, "I know you said don't do this, but I did it because I did you a favor. I killed your child because I thought I was doing you a favor." I would not be the one, not want to be the one to go back and tell him. Being a leader carries great responsibility. It was a bitterly cold evening in Northern Virginia many years ago. The old man's beard was glazed by winter's frost as he waited for a ride across the river. He heard a brigade of men on horses coming around the bend. He let the first one pass without any effort to get his attention. Then another passed by, and another. Finally, the last rider neared, and the old man caught the rider's eye and said, "Sir, would you mind giving an old man a ride to the other side?" The rider said, "Sure thing, hop aboard." Seeing the old man unable to lift his half-frozen body onto the horse, the horseman dismounted and helped the old man onto the horse. The horseman not only took the old man across the river, but to his destination, which was just a few miles away. As they neared the man's home, the horseman was curious and he asked, "Sir, I noticed that you let several other riders pass by without making any effort to get a ride. Then I came up and you immediately asked me for a ride. I'm curious why on such a bitterly cold night you would wait and ask the last rider. What if I had refused and left you there?" The old man replied, "I've been around these parts for some time. I reckon I know people pretty good. I looked into the eyes of the other riders and immediately saw there was no concern for my situation. It would have been useless even to ask them for a ride. But when I looked into your eyes, kindness and compassion were there. I knew that your gentle spirit would welcome the opportunity to help me in my time of need." Those heartwarming words touched the horseman. "I'm most grateful for what you have said," he told the old man. "May I never get too busy in my own affairs that I fail to respond to the needs of others with kindness and compassion." With that, Thomas Jefferson turned his horse around and made his way back to the White House. How many rides have you gotten from a president? Loving one another shows. Caring shows. You can't pretend to care. Others will know. Joab loved his king, but his love led him to be blind to the king's wishes. "It's like I see your lips moving, but I'm not really listening. You tell me this guy's a threat, I'm going to eliminate him. Don't tell me don't kill him. I don't even want to hear it. I'm going to eliminate that threat." Where was the compassion for a man's child? "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. When we follow a leader but don't question bad decisions, when we follow a leader and go above and beyond what they ask, thinking that we know what's best, when we follow a political party without question or a religion without question, we are victims of blind loyalty. God wants us to think. That's why he sent his only son to point out to the people that they were blind guides. Remember those words? You're blind guides. You say you're leading everyone, Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, you say you're leading, but you're blind guides. Your loyalty is not to God the Father, but to your rules, to your traditions. Think that they had blind loyalty is what causes more problems in our history. Never be afraid to question. It demonstrates that we are thinking. And so Jesus reaches out to each and every one of us every day and says, think. Don't just do because that's what you've always done. Think about it. Think about it. Do not be blind in your loyalty to anything. So many times we become so consumed with just one way. It may be one news show that we watch. It may be one type of movie we watch. It may be one church that we've decided is the one and only church in the world. It is the way. And then we begin to hate others. It's not what we're called to do. I pray that you never hear from this pulpit or any pulpit in the Disciples of Christ that we are about hating anyone or disliking anyone or not wanting anyone or not being compassionate to anyone. Because that is not what we're about. And that is not the ministry of Jesus Christ. So let us learn a lesson from Joab this day. Blind loyalty leads to blind guides. And blind guides, we're confronted every day by our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have empowered us with your Spirit, and we ask that we listen to that Spirit to continually remember that we are about compassion and love, that we are about reaching out to others, that we are not here to judge, but to love your children as you loved us. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.